Welcome to episode 90 of the Half Point Per Podcast. I am your host, Evan Riggs, joined by my producer and today co-host, Johnny Pham. Dalton is not able to be with us today. Just the two of us, Johnny. You know, it's been a week. It's been a week trying to get this podcast scheduled and out there. Dalton's got some stuff going on. I am doing this from my MacBook as opposed to my PC. So for those of you who hear a very faint fan in the background, you are not crazy. MacBooks just have very loud fans. Johnny, how are you doing on this fine Thursday night?
Oh, man, doing great. You know, that's life as an adult just comes at you really fast where I'm sure years ago we're like, yeah, we can do any time from like now we're like, ah, that day doesn't work. Look, I'm free 2 weeks from now. And that's just being an adult in a nutshell. But glad we're here. Show will be a pretty short pod, not as long as our usual ones, but happy to be here, unlike some people, Dalton.
Being an adult is waking up at 7 a.m., noticing it is 70 degrees, and being miffed when at 5 o'clock when you leave work, it is 48 degrees. It has gotten 22 degrees colder as the day has gone on. It is supposed to be the opposite. Just been an upside-down week altogether, but with the changing weather, one thing that does make me realize is we are getting closer and closer to trade deadlines, to the fantasy football playoffs. And that's what we've got today, Johnny. We're going to be talking some trades that can hopefully help some people go win their leagues. But first, we do have a couple of things I wanted to touch on before we get into that. Number one, well, 1A, 1B, we have Darren Waller and Hunter Renfro, who have been topics of, we'll say, consternation on this show the last couple of weeks. Both of those guys headed to the IR. I think Renfro is some kind of oblique injury. And then Waller, he's been dealing with the hamstring for weeks. I really want to talk a little bit more about the Waller fallout, but not too much about really any of this. All of this to say that at this point, you think about Waller is going to be on the IR for at least 4 weeks. And it seems like the Raiders, it seemed like he was day to day until he wasn't, basically.
Yeah.
So truly in 4 weeks, we have no idea if he's going to be back or not, or if it'll be longer. But let's just say best case scenario, he's back in 4 weeks. What can you really expect from Darren Waller in 4 weeks, which, if it's not the first round of your fantasy playoffs, it is the game to get a lot of people into their fantasy playoffs, most likely. I say all of that to say, I think Darren Waller is droppable. I think you can drop Darren Waller in a redraft league, obviously, at this point. In fact, if he were on my roster, I would, because you probably have to go find another solution. And you probably – it's just a really tough roster clog, and one that most people who have Waller are probably happy to get off of after how this whole season has gone. Even when he has played, it has not been great.
Yeah, it hasn't been great. And I think it was that report that after their bye week, he didn't – he felt worse after that. And I was like, oh, that's not good. Not a good look. Everyone always thinks a bye week is an extra week to help him recover, and he didn't recover to – he actually like regressed technically with his injury, and then now, I agree with you. I think he's droppable. I don't know what other alternative you're supposed to find for the next 4 weeks that you haven't been using for the last 3 weeks.
If you are the Darren Waller owner and you've been struggling at tight end for the whole season, but especially the last couple of weeks, and you didn't already have Foster Moreau, and if he's not already picked up in your league, you're probably going and picking up Foster Moreau. I mean, this is a guy that I sent this tweet in our group today just to have it top of mind. I went hunting for it. There's a tweet from Matt Wallman back in August where he pretty much he says that Moreau is the best backup tight end in the NFL. And if he were given a full starter workload, he could be a top 5 to 7 tight end. Now, it has not been that the last couple of weeks without Waller. One of those games, ironically his best game, a 6-point game against the Saints, his team literally didn't get the ball past midfield until late in the game. And then the Raiders just have kind of been the Raiders in other games ever since then. but he is at least interesting. You're not benching an established guy. To give my own team as an example in our Dynasty League, I'm not benching Pat Freiermuth for him. But if you have a Robert Tonyan, somebody of that ilk, a guy who's a streamer, I think Moreau is interesting. And if you're searching, if you're the Waller owner, I think Moreau is definitely interesting. And we'll see if he can live up to even top 12, top 14 instead of top 5-7, like Waldman says he has the potential to do. I mean, without Renfro now, it is basically Davante Adams and Foster Moreau and a running game. That is the offense right now. And I do think we would probably feel differently about Moreau. I don't know how much of that Raiders game you saw the other day. His one long gain, I think it was actually the short gain. He caught a bubble screen and it went for like 5 yards, but the Raiders had 3 linemen out in front of them and 1 defender to block, and they did not block that defender. And if they did, there's probably a long touchdown being scored by Moreau, and people are feeling differently about a guy who he's had 5 or more targets the last 3 weeks. So while he's not a top 8 option, he is a startable option, because anybody who's getting volume at tight end like that, you can plug and play and just pray to the gods that he finds the end zone. That's pretty much what we're doing here, I think.
Yeah, I agree. Like, to be honest, I had no idea who Foster Moreau was until today. Like, I feel like that is not a common name that fantasy football owners should know, but they might do now if they are a Waller owner or proactive. One of their starters is out. They're like, huh, who's the Raiders backup tight end? Yep. Since Waller's out for the foreseeable future. So
yep.
I think that's a good name to kind of drop in there.
And he's had some moments in the past when Waller's been banged up too. So hopefully Moreau can fill that void for fantasy teams, and probably more so for the Raiders, who are really, really searching right now. And before we get into the trade deadline special, so I had this name when we were planning on recording this yesterday and we were planning on doing the drop-o-meter. I had Drake London on the drop-o-meter. He plays Thursday night, which if you're listening to this live or shortly after, we're recording this less than 2 hours before that game. So if I tell you to go trade for Drake London and you're listening Friday morning, I'm sorry. You can't go trade for Drake London. But I did want to at least bring him up. Number one, if he is on your waivers right now, go grab him if you're listening to this before Thursday night game. And if not, he's hopefully a guy that's on the radars on Monday. Obviously, you'll have more data and you'll be able to see how he did, and you can kind of go from there. But this is a guy that has not reached 6 points in a game for about a month now. He has not finished higher than wide receiver 49 since week 3. It's been rough, as you know, Johnny, as a Kyle Pitts owner. It is not Drake London's fault that it's been this rough. He himself, for anybody who is not a reception perception subscriber, Matt Harmon put out his top 12 rookies, or just 12 rookies that played a lot, and charted them. And Olave was unreal. And in that same tier was Drake London and Garrett Wilson. Like, this guy is awesome. He has basically close to a 30% target share on this team. And if he has another bad week this week, just look to buy like at dirt cheap next week and redraft if you can, because usually I know it's a low volume offense. I know it's not going to be a top 20 receiver the rest of the way, but usually with volume and a good player, eventually production is going to follow, and it hasn't yet. And I just think it will. So he's a guy I'm keeping an eye on tonight as we record this on Thursday, and then early next week, depending on what happens.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned Kyle Pitts, because every week it just is like a never-ending battle of like, do I sit Kyle Pitts? Like, if I start him, he's going to go for 2 for 19. But if I bench him, he's going to have the explosion game that we've all been clamoring for. And yep. it's just, I don't know what Arthur Smith is doing. It's just, it's tough being a Pitts owner right now.
Yep, and same for London. He had 1.8 fantasy points last week. If you have somebody who is reactionary, he literally got the ball ripped from his soul by Khalil Mack inside the 10-yard line for everybody to see. So not great right now. I just think it could get better. Hopefully for people looking to trade, it doesn't happen tonight, so you can get him even cheaper next week. But with that said, Johnny, let's jump into my four trade targets. These are not necessarily buy lows. These are just guys that I'm looking to go buy. And some of them I'm looking to buy low, but at the end of the day, I'm looking to make trades either to find a guy who is valued as a bench guy that could be a starter, or just straight up trade for a star that I think is a star and I'm paying up for. And the first guy that fits that first descriptor is Rashad White. And I wish Dalton were here to have this conversation as a Leonard Fournette owner in our Dynasty League. I think the gap every week is getting narrower and narrower between Fournette and Rashad White in that backfield. I know the snaps don't tell that story. It was 62% to 35% in favor of Fournette last week. But it was still, I believe, either 12 to 11 or 11 to 10 touches. Plus one for Fournette. That's as close as it's been all season. He had the benefit of, you know, more targets, 7-3, and more routes, 35-17. I just think we're seeing that part too, even slowly tilt more towards White. We are still seeing this offense really struggling right now. And Fournette can be the beneficiary of an offense that is rolling. I don't think he's going to be one of the guys that helps lift this offense out of its struggles. They have their receivers that can do that. And I think Rashad White is a guy that they should look to get on the field and get the ball more. And I think you can still buy him relatively low at like that bench player type of price. And maybe he turns into a running back two on a receiver heavy team for a playoff team down the stretch, like a low end RB2, high end RB3 that you can plug and play in the playoffs. I mean, he hasn't played more than 43% of the team snaps yet. He's yet the top 10 rushes, only topped 50 yards one time. He's the RB54. And what makes him easier to trade for, especially if you're plucking him off of a team that needs help now, his bye week is coming up. So you could look at the teams that need wins in your league and find guys like this where their bye week is coming up, and you can basically just buy a better player in exchange partially for a guy that can, you know, quote unquote, help that person win the matchup that they need the win to stay in contention. Cause we're getting down to that time where every game is really magnified as you're chasing the playoffs. And just to give you an idea, like looking at rest of season ranks, Michael Gallup, one spot ahead of him, MVS in that neighborhood. I had Darren Waller written down, that name you can take off. Chase Claypool, Devin Duvernay, all guys who are in that neighborhood and all guys that I would trade straight up for Rashad White and take Rashad White on the cheap and hope that the upside can pay off.
Yeah, I like your point of saying like Rashad White could be the guy to kind of help spring this offense forward, because Leonard Fournette is just, he's just not that guy right now. Like, we've seen what we had to see. I think it's kind of crazy to say that it's, was it week 10 this Thursday?
Yep.
Was it week 9? Yeah. The fact that it's already week 10 and the Buccaneers are still, have they scored over 20 points in one game yet?
That's a great question. I think they did against the Chiefs, but that was only because like they got down by so many touchdowns and the Chiefs were just kind of content with letting them score, I think, like two touchdowns in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, because like I'll check the scores later, but like anytime I have watched the Buccaneers game, they are a struggle bus on offense, and I truthfully don't think they've, besides the Chiefs game, they've just scored like 7-10 points, slow dink and dunks there, but they're
well, you had Tony Romo losing his mind the other day, and the score was like 13-9 with the Bucs driving late in the game to take the lead. So it's been bad. I think Rashad White is a guy who can help that offense. And the more that the longer they struggle, it's like, yeah, you should probably get this guy who, we know that Rashad White was not Dalton and I's favorite prospect by any means, but he's a guy they invested in. He's a guy that is more explosive than Fournette. So just see what happens. And slowly, I think we are seeing that. We are seeing him get more touches. And I think he is still very gettable for very cheap right now. And a guy that is gettable for a lot cheaper than we would have ever thought a month, 6 weeks ago, Amon-Ra St. Brown, we are a long ways away from Amon-Ra, Mr. Sun God himself, being the story of the fantasy football season, because he was through the first like 2-3 weeks of the season. But because of the struggles, because of the injuries, and he just hasn't, you know, he's played the last 2 weeks, and I think it's been 10 and 7 points the last 2 weeks. That bye window is wide open for Amon-Ra St. Brown, and he is definitely a guy that has not been top 24 since week 2 and could be top 24 rest of season very easily from this point forward. Maybe even more, like, I don't know if I'd say top 12, but he's in that discussion, I think, like top 12 to 16 receivers.
Would you consider him a trade target to potentially he could be a league winner?
Yeah, yeah. He could definitely be a league winner, because, you know, it's very possible that the team that has St. Brown is not looking great record-wise, because he maybe was a huge part of their start and has obviously not been there for that team since then. So obviously depends on the roster. But yeah, I mean, he is definitely a guy that you could trade a wide receiver 2/3 type of price and find yourself with a locked and loaded top 15 guy, which is extremely valuable. Obviously, I mean, you can find top 30 receivers every week off the scrap heap in redraft, off waiver wires. They're everywhere, but you can't find guys. Cause like, I thought about Devonta Smith, but I just was like, I think I need to go a step further for receivers, because I don't like trading running backs for, even though I think Devonta Smith is very good, he's probably like top 24 good the rest of the season. Whereas Amon-Ra, I think he can be better than that. I mean, he has been healthy the last 2 weeks, and they've just been disappointing from a production standpoint. He's played almost 100% of the snaps. Last week, he did actually run a route on 100% of their dropbacks. So he is fully back and running a route every play. He just it just doesn't happen every game. For some guys, or for most guys, frankly. And really last week, they were surprisingly, I know I shouldn't be surprised, but kind of like the Bucks, I am surprised by the Packers only scoring, you know, what was it, 6 points against the Lions, and the Lions being able to run the ball and control the clock and win that game, scoring whatever it was, 14 points. They will not be able to win a game. I'll say this. They will not hold a team to single digits the rest of the season. So we're not going to get that game script. I highly doubt the rest of the season. I mean, this is actually like insane. And I truly, if this stat is wrong, I'm sorry. Don't blame me. Blame the people I got it from. But he was at 84% of their air yards last week is what he accounted for. That is insane. And we always say follow the air yards. They will lead the points. And this is another example of, I think we are going to have an Amon-Ra St. Brown explosion sometime in the near future. I mean, Jameson Williams, he is still very much living in the theoretical and not the real right now. We have no idea when he's going to be back. That alone has boosted Amon-Ra's value to me, is the Jameson Williams uncertainty that we're still living in. I mean, he has 52 targets in the 5 full games he's been healthy. PFF, I don't know how they did this, but they basically had a stat that somehow was able to cut out all of the injury kind of noise that comes along with his stats, because he's left multiple games early. He has a 31% target share, which is third behind Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp in the NFL. So this is a guy that's getting crazy volume. He's not as good as those guys, but this is still very much a potential top 12, and I think pretty safe top 15 to 18 receiver the rest of the way. That, like, you could pay, I don't know, like you'd be surprised what you can go cross position and trade a running back for, I think, a receiver. Like Raheem Mostert, he plays tonight, so this is probably not helpful, but Deontay Foreman, if he plays well tonight, looking in the next week, and then even looking at the same position, like Tyler Lockett, Lockett's been awesome. He's obviously a feast or famine guy, but I say those names to say I think St. Brown is a guy you can get on the cheap, and he can really, really come through for your team down the stretch.
Yeah, I think just the most promising thing is his target share. Like, last week he had 9 targets. The week before he had 10. And besides the other 2 games, he just left early with an injury. So every those 5 games, full games he's played, the least amount of targets he's gotten was 9. So it's just, I mean, although he hasn't gotten a touchdown since, I think, week two, where that was the big blow-up game.
Yep.
It's just kind of like, I think it was like the Joe Mixon scenario. It's like the touchdowns will eventually come one day, and that would just propel him up from whatever wide receiver he is now to like maybe like 6-8 spots with just one touchdown.
It would be great if Amon-Ra St. Brown could score 5 touchdowns. That would be quite wonderful.
It's quite the anomaly, but shout out to Joe Mixon.
Okay, these next two guys. So my first two were kind of some buy lows. Not that you can get St. Brown the cheap, but cheaper than his volume. These two guys, I'm paying up for, and I am basically willing to trade almost anybody on my teams for these next two guys. First guy, Travis Etienne. So, guys, he is in the same neighborhood as in Fantasy Pros rest of season ranks. Josh Jacobs, Alvin Kamara, Joe Mixon, the aforementioned Joe Mixon, Damian Pierce, Davante Adams, CeeDee Lamb, DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Waddle, T. Higgins. I'm taking Travis Etienne over all those guys quite easily. I would even look – like, I would look above maybe Joe Mixon. I mean, Joe Mixon is number 10 overall. I think Alvin Kamara is right there too. And I just don't like too many more running backs more than Travis Etienne rest of season. I mean, since his snaps went from a very sudden about half of the workload to workhorse at about 80%, which is what he's been the last 3 weeks, he's the RB3 in that stretch. And I still think you can buy him as a low-end RB1. So it's not like you're buying him on the cheap. You're just, I think, getting him a little bit less than what his true value has been the last 3 weeks, perhaps, and what his volume can be. Because, like, even though he's been the RB3, it's not unreasonable to think, I don't think he's going to keep that up. And to me, he's a top 5 or 6 running back the rest of the way, for sure. Like, I feel very good about saying he's a top 8 running back rest of season. I mean, let's just think about this. His rushing yardage the last 3 weeks, 114, 159, and 109. And he has 4 touchdowns in that stretch, which is obviously awesome. He's been just amazing. But there is still some untapped upside for this guy. He is not catching passes like we know he is able to. Like, he is truly not. Whether it is him dropping passes or just him not getting the volume, which is happening. He has 6 receptions the last 3 weeks, less than 30 total receiving yards. Just as a reminder, this is a guy that as a prospect, 48 receptions was his number as a senior in college, almost 600 yards. That is not, I mean, that is Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, and the list is pretty short, if any, after that, of guys who are putting up that type of receiving statistical line in college from the running back position. If that comes around, like, even a little bit, he'll have the profile, like the workhorse profile of the overall running back one. Not saying he's going to finish there, but there's untapped upside for a guy who's been the RB3 the last 3 weeks. That's a scary thought.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I was shocked to see that he's only had 6 catches the last 3 weeks, because you would just kind of expect that 6 a week isn't out of the norm for him.
Yeah.
Especially with his college stats. And
especially with his team staying somewhere usually behind. Like, they were just behind by 17 points the other day, and he had basically nothing in the passing game.
Yeah, but, I mean, ever since James Robinson got traded, his just – value has just shot through the roof. Because, like, I was in that camp of potentially training for ETN while they had James Robinson. I was like, oh, no, I don't want to do that. So I went a different route. But looking back, if I would have known that in the future James Robinson was going to be traded, I definitely would have taken ETN if it was a redraft league.
Well, anybody who's listened to us throughout the year knows it's been a roller coaster with our Travis ETN takes. We started out fairly optimistic and fairly dismissive of James Robinson, like, actually coming back from torn Achilles. Like, who does this guy think he is? He's already going to play week one. Oh, he's playing week one. Oh, he's getting more work than Travis Etienne. He's the guy, I guess, that we want, because he looks like his normal self. And then it was nothing that James Robinson did wrong. It was just a very clear, okay, we are getting this guy the ball now. and it slowly happened. And then all of a sudden, boom, zero carries for J-Rob in his last game as a Jaguar. And Etienne has not looked back since that point. So, like, we mentioned Joe Mixon multiple times, fresh off the 5-touchdown game. He was a buy low a couple weeks ago. He is a sell high right now. If you can sell him off that 5-touchdown game for Travis Etienne, I'm doing that 7 days of the week, 24 hours every day, 365 days of the year. I am all in on Travis Etienne for the rest of the season. But the guy who I am all in on and everybody is all in on, so you're going to have a tough time getting him, is Saquon Barkley. Like, I am doing everything I can to go pluck Saquon Barkley off of his team. It is obviously, like everything, a little team dependent. If Saquon Barkley is on one of the best two or three teams in your league, you're just not going to get him because he's not going to be tradable on a team that is set up as one of the best.
That's how you lose your league.
Yes, you lose your league by trading Saquon when you're one of the best two or three teams. But it's not unreasonable to think, you know, for as good as Saquon has been, he's just been fine. He's been like top 15 good the last couple of weeks, and he just had his bye week. If you've got a Saquon Barkley fantasy manager who's kind of on that fringe of playoffs, either barely on the inside or barely on the outside, you know, there's a lot of injuries. There's a lot of injuries to key guys that people are dealing with. You could, I think, trade an RB1 caliber RB and then a startable receiver. Just pick any wide receiver too. And I think you could maybe get the job done. You know, the phrase trade two ponies for a horse is thrown around a lot in fantasy football trades. This is trading two horses for the horse in Saquon Barkley. Like, this is going out and trading for Secretariat. He has been unbelievable this year. 80% of the snaps in all but one game, double figure scoring in every game this season. He has been the most consistent running back in fantasy football this season. He's looked every bit the guy that we had hoped for when we'd ranked him and everybody else had ranked him in previous years as a top two or three overall draft pick. He has 18 or more rushing yards in all but two games this season, and he is getting not the receiving volume and production of his rookie season, but he is getting very good volume and production, enough to where he's on pace for a career high, almost 1,700 rushing yards and 400 receiving yards. So basically, he is on pace for a 2,000-yard season. He has just been unbelievably good this year. Like, Alvin Kamara plus somebody, Joe Mixon plus somebody. I mean, I love Etienne. I want Etienne, but you can maybe do Etienne plus a slightly downgraded receiver from the previous packages to go get Saquon. And no matter when your trade deadline actually is, if you don't trade for him now, you're just not getting him. Even in a league where he might be gettable, you're not getting him. His next 2 weeks, Johnny, are the Texans and the Lions.
It is chalked. You have one opportunity right now.
This is your only chance. If you want Saquon Barkley, go pay 120 cents on the dollar. You don't usually advise you do that in a trade. And obviously, you don't do that if it's going to make your team worse. But if you're kind of flush with depth, if you've got some guys who are producing that you didn't expect, I mean, this is a league-winning move of all league-winning moves to add the guy who I think is going to be the RB1.
The horse.
The horse. You're trading for the horse. You're trading for Secretariat. You're doing it, and you're doing it to go win your league. I know it's a scary it's scary to trade an RB1 plus another player that you want to start in your lineup. But like I said, receivers grow on trees. You can find other receivers either probably on your team already, or guys will emerge in on waivers on a matchup basis that you can plug and play if you really need to. I'm going out and doing everything I can to trade for Saquon Barkley right now. He is the offense for the Giants. Like, he really is.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just good to kind of have him back and just yes. Being what we know that what he can do, and just seeing him on the field and just dominating, it's just truly a beautiful thing. And then same with McCaffrey too. Of
mm-hmm.
2 weeks ago, he just had a touchdown for everything, like passing, rushing, and receiving. It's just finally great to see. Cause I know I mentioned it at the beginning of the season. It's like, I just wish we have that Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley to where we wanted them to be. Because when they came out, we're like, this is a generational player.
Mm-hmm.
We've only had like a small glimpse of it, but it's glad that they're kind of going back up to speed and just kind of what we expected and kind of see out of those. It's just fun to watch, truly. And if you're owner of one of those two, kudos to you.
Kudos to you. And hopefully if you're an owner of one of those two, you are on the side of your team is amazing. So you're not looking to trade and add depth by trading one of those guys, because Saquon is like a running back that is basically 15 points a week, which is, I think his average is actually more than that. But on his worst weeks, he's been 15 points. His average probably something like 18 points a week. There's just nothing more valuable in fantasy football, because you can find production at those other positions, and you just can't at running back, which is why all of the biggest league-winning moves, whether it's in trades or on waivers, when there is that guy, when there is the Kenneth Walker that you should have spent 100% of your fab on, when those guys can be added to your team, like that's just the league winning move in fantasy football. Johnny, anything else to add before we get out of here and you get going to Black Panther and I give this this struggling MacBook a well-deserved rest for making it through?
Yeah, one crazy thing that I just remembered is that I have Saquon and TMC in one league. Last week was rough because both of them were on bye, but now we're upwards trajectory now, so pray for the rest of the league.
The rest of us can only hope to be so lucky. And that's going to do it for episode 90 of the Half Point Per Podcast. Apologies for the shorter episode. We would have loved to give a more kind of intense trade deadline special. It just wasn't able to happen. A lot of unforeseen things.
Life happens. This
week, life definitely does happen, and that was the case this week. But thank you guys, as always, so much for listening. And we'll talk to you next week, hopefully all three of us back. Give us a follow on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, Half Point Per Pod. Subscribe to the YouTube. We will usually try and acknowledge and answer any comments that are in the chat on there. We always appreciate those. The show is available anywhere you listen to your podcast, Spotify, Apple, etc. Hope you all have a successful trade deadline, whether it's this week, next week, whatever. And we will talk to you guys again next week.
Goodbye.